Turn in your Bibles this morning to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read beginning with verse 26 of the 8th chapter. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure that had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture we read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to baptize? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. I want to stress the importance of two verses in this reading this morning. Verse 37, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And verse 39, He went on his way, rejoicing. Most scholars agree that the eunuch spoken of in that text was Queen Candace of Ethiopia's treasurer. The point, however, is that he was a man of importance and influence in that pagan kingdom. Philip was a deacon of one of the first seven deacons ordained by the church. After Stephen's death, the scripture moment that Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ. Not only did Philip preach, but he was a student of the scriptures. For when he was asked by the eunuch who Isaiah was speaking about, Philip told him it was the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. According to the World Almanac, this African nation, located in East Africa, and the chief religion is Christian. It tells us, it's very interesting to me, that 61% of the population in Ethiopia today is the Christian faith. In Africa, where Muslim, pagan, and animism are the most influential religions, with the exception of voodoo and the local witch doctors scattered throughout the old tribal ritualists, 61% of Ethiopia is Christian. It might possibly, let's just think, we're not saying it did, but we're saying it might just possibly be and relate back to Philip's conversation with the eunuch. We go to the book of Acts. The point, of course, is this. It's possible that one of the first deacons of the brand new Christian church 2,000 years ago also impacted an entire African nation called Ethiopia today. It doesn't have to stretch your imagination too much to say that might be possible. Amen?
That's right.
And the point, of course, is this. Why, you ask, is that important? If you are truly asking that, why is it important? I want you to know you do not understand what the Christian faith is all about. It's that simple. You just don't comprehend. You just don't understand what Christianity is all about. I wonder if there are many in the church that don't. And I'm serious when I say that. You may never know how much the way you act and talk. You may never know how your testimony of personal salvation may have influenced. You may never know how studying and searching the scriptures may help you to conduct someone and help someone and convict someone to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. As Philip's explanation of Isaiah's prophecy did to this eunuch in our Acts reading. All you need to know is this, my friends. These are the things God expects every single Christian to do.
Right.
Not just preachers and deacons.
Right.
Did I make that plain enough? These are the things God expects every single Christian to do, not just preachers and deacons.
Right.
Doing it how? Personally sharing your own testimony by the way you talk and act. By studying and searching God's Word, as evidently these should be as natural to all of us, these should be as natural to the child of God as breathing and eating. Let's just suppose that it was a seed planted by the eunuch that makes Ethiopia a light in that dark continent of Africa. Spurgeon taught the importance of having oil for our lamps, that we might not be like the virgins who ran out of oil in Jesus' parable. And I wanted to share that parable with you in just a moment. But Jesus said, if you are a Christian, you are the light of the world. Let's see what Brother Spurgeon has to say. oil for your light. My soul, how much you need this oil for your lamp. It will not continue to burn very long without it. Your snuff will smoke and become an offense if light is gone, and gone it will be if oil is absent. You have no oil well springing up in your human nature, therefore you must go to them who sell and buy for yourself, or like the foolish virgins, you will have to cry, our lamps have gone out. Even the consecrated lamps could not give light without oil. Although they shone in the tabernacle, they needed to be fed. Even though no rough wind blew on them, they needed to be trimmed. And your need is equally as great. Under the happiest of circumstances, you cannot give light for another hour unless the fresh oil of grace is given to you. Not every oil could be used in the Lord's service. Neither the petroleum that exudes so plentifully from the earth, nor that is produced by fish, nor the extracted from nuts would be accepted. Only the best, prime olive oil was used. Pretended grace from natural goodness or imaginary grace from priestly hands or from outward ceremonies will never serve the true saint of God. He knows that the Lord would not be pleased with rivers of such oil. He goes to the olive press of Gethsemane and draws his supplies from him who was crushed there. The oil of gospel grace is free from impurities, hence the light that is fed on it is clear and bright. Our churches are the Savior's golden candelabra. And if they are to be lights in this dark world, they must have much holy oil. Let us pray for ourselves, our ministers, and our churches, that they may never lack oil for the light. Truth, holiness, joy, knowledge, and love are all beams of sacred light, but we cannot exemplify them in our lives unless we receive oil from God, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That's quite a message, isn't it? I'm going to read that parable. I think it's so much better than anything I might say, because it's said by Jesus. Jesus speaking, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be none enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready came in. and with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. You say, Preacher, I don't understand that parable. I think maybe you do. It was pretty plain. You've got to have oil. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. Join the church. Being baptized. Standing here preaching. That isn't what saves you. Holy Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. All this other stuff means absolutely nothing if you don't have the Holy Spirit. The gift, the free gift of God. Beloved, we do, sir, we do not know if Ethiopia and its population of almost 2/3 that is Christian is because of the act of the end. We do not. No, we do not. Abraham did not know that when he took Isaiah up to that mount to be sacrificed, that God would provide a lamb to take Isaiah's place, did he? Did he? No. He went up there to sacrifice his son. And the Bible says, but God provided a lamb. How much plainer can that be, Christian? Moses did not know that God would part the Red Sea when God gave him orders to go forward. But Pharaoh's army drowned when the Red Sea went back together again. The disciples did not know that Jesus would feed 5,000 people with a few fish and a couple of pieces of bread. But it did. What we do know is this. God provided the lamb. God spoke and the Red Sea parted. 5,000 people were fed by the miracle of Jesus. And according to the World Almanac, 61% of the people of Ethiopia claim Christianity as their religion. My beloved people, if we believe with all of our hearts God's word, we too, like the eunuch in this morning's text, we'll go on our way rejoicing. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.